You're listening to Funky Monkey MMA. Listening to Funky Monkey MMA.
Welcome to another edition of Funky Monkey MMA. I'm Joel Rojas. With me is my co-host, Eric Kidu. Eric, what's going on? How you doing?
Doing well, my man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. We have a great guest for you tonight. Out of the streets in my neighborhood of Jersey City, New Jersey, help me welcome Emmanuel Wavo. Manny, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? How's everything?
Can't complain, man. Every day above ground is a good day.
Yeah.
So I want to start off by saying, you know, like I mentioned real briefly when I did the intro, we're both from the same area, Jersey City, New Jersey. Tough, rough upbringing, as you know. Did that play a role in you joining into getting into mixed martial arts? I mean, also the fact that you were also in the Army, did all that go into play to become a mixed martial artist?
I mean, you know, like growing up in Jersey City, like you say, is a rough upbringing, especially if you like, you know, you outside and hanging out with people and everything. You got to learn how to hold your own and, you know, walk with your chest up, you know. So, and that's the same mentality you kind of have in MMA. You got to be able to hold your own. You got to be able to, like, you know, have that confidence and have the ability to, you know, not only speak up for yourself, but be able to hold your own, protect yourself and everything like that. So I kind of take some of that philosophy with me, that's some of that mindset into my MMA career, you know, as far as, you know, being able to project myself, being able to articulate myself, and being able to hold my own wherever I'm at.
That's right. That's how it is, man, because nowadays you could be walking in broad daylight, someone will run up on you and just shoot you right where you stand or just drop you. And nowadays, they ain't fair ones, man. So to be able to protect yourself nowadays, mixed martial artists or not, it's definitely a key thing to advance in life. Now, you were also in the Army, correct? How long were you actually there? And, you know, did you also do your training while you were in the Army, or did you kind of put that to the side?
Well, I started my training because of the Army. You know, I was introduced to it somewhat when I was joining the Army. I mean, prior to that, we all watched the first season of Ultimate Fighter about, I think that's premiering, what, 2005, 2006. So I didn't join the Army until about 2007, December time. So I was already somewhat introduced to it. And then when I got into the Army have a hand-to-hand combat system. They called it the combatives. So that was my first hands-on approach to it. And, you know, I was in the Army National Guard, New Jersey Army National Guard. And then from there, I got, after my training, we got deployed to Iraq for about 13 months from 08 to 09. So during my spare time, I linked up with some guys, some of the soldiers I was there, but two of them was already previously training at Heads of Gracie Newark. So I linked up with them in my spare time, and we, you know, we would drill, we would do some roles and everything, and that's just how we just kept building from there. And then from when I came home, I was going to school, and I'd say I was living off the money I made from the Army, so I didn't really work. So during my spare time, I found a gym. I would just go there and train to school, and that was it.
Well, definitely, you know, first off, thank you very much for your services. You know, leading up to the now, you know, what would you say has been your toughest moment or obstacle that you faced?
I don't know. That's a very interesting question. You know, like, every obstacle that I've encountered in my life, I've somehow ever been able to get over it or maneuver around it, you know. So I don't really put too much emphasis on one specific thing, you know, because there's a lot of things that brought me to this point, you know, from failed relationships, failed jobs, losing my title on the scale, you know, there's a lot of things. So I won't say there's one particular moment, but it's just a whole bunch of like things. But I was able to get over it and learn from it and moved on.
Perfect. What would you say on top of that is, you know, at this point, what you see as your biggest accomplishment? You know, what's something that you're just fiercely proud of?
I'm proud of, like, you know what I'm saying, where I'm coming from Jersey City, you know, some of the people I was hanging around with at a young age and the things I was doing. I mean, I would never saw drugs or, like, you know, kill or shoot anybody or rob anybody, but, you know, I was like a knucklehead just running around, not having a focus. I was like a dog chasing his tail. I would wake up, work a little part-time job, go hang out on the block and do the same thing over and over and over again. So I would say for me, my biggest accomplishment so far, you know, was breaking that cycle, you know, going to the Army, coming back, getting my college degrees, getting my master's degree, then become a pro fighter, win a world championship, you know, like have my own place, have my own vehicle, things like that. So to me, those are like, you know, personal accomplishments because I've seen some of the friends some friends I lost, you know, some friends died, some friends are in jail, and some friends, the worst besides death and besides being in jail is the ones that's just, you know, stuck in a cycle. They're still doing the same thing since high school, you know, so it's like, it's very easy and very tempting to get pulled into that lifestyle. So for any, not just me, anybody, I have not just the negative, I have a lot of friends from Jersey City that made something, that became teachers, police officers, and everything like that, doctors. So I commend all those people because I know we're coming from where we're from. You know, there's not a lot of us making it. So the ones that do make it, I do commend them.
Yeah, most definitely. Because like you said, the cycle is really tough to break, especially when some people are born into it. Like maybe their children are born into the lifestyle that they have, you know, being gang affiliated and whatnot. Jersey City is one of the most dangerous cities in the nation. I mean, I think they're on the top five in worst cities in New Jersey. I think Camden and Newark are probably the worst ones. Aside from Jersey, and to see come out of that, get out of that element, doing something with themselves, it just shows that it could be done. It's a positive motivation for others to say, to be like, you know what, he did it, I could do it too. And that's how that's part of being a mixed martial artist as well, is being a positive role model, you know.
Yeah, you know, and then that's another thing that like that helps me, like. I mean, the younger generation kids, they don't really know me. I don't really know them, but like the guys around my age, the guys like, you know, that was in high school around the same time I was in high school, whatever. I was senior, there was a freshman or anything like that. But, you know, and on top of that, because of social media now, so people from the city know what I know, who I am, and know what I do. So when I run into people, like, it's always like, oh, hey, man, what's up? Hey, how you been? Hey, how's the fighting going? Everything. So that's kind of, you know, I like, you know, and I take pride in that being very approachable, you know, like I'm not above nobody, I'm not below nobody, you know, I just feel myself, I can be very approachable, I can stop, even if it's like 30 seconds, a minute, I always stop and talk to people, because you never know, like I said, coming from Jersey City, you never know, that same guy, you might try to ignore him or anything, like a month or two down the line, you might catch yourself jammed up, and that same guy might be able to bail you out, so you never look past nobody, so I stop 30 seconds, a minute, sometimes like just like a week ago, I stopped like 10 minutes to talk to this guy. For the life of me, I didn't know who he was, but for some reason, he knew who I was. So I just pretended to know, and we just had a conversation for 10 minutes, you know, right by the train station. So things like that, you know.
Yeah, most definitely. And I know you've been training, you train your ass off all the time. I know you definitely going out to Edge in Hoboken, which, correct me if I'm wrong, but Damian Maya was there not too long ago to prepare for his fight with Covington. How was that experience working with such a high-class, you know, grappler that's considered one of the best grapplers in the history of the sport, of the division, in that aspect?
Well, let me just can we curse on this?
Yeah, good. Be good.
I'm just saying, it's levels to this shit. So he made me realize that, you know. Like, I always fancy myself. If you're watching my fights and everything, I'm more wrestling heavy, you know, like. And I was fancy myself being able to take people down and everything like that. And I couldn't do nothing with this guy. Like, and even when I did manage to get him down, I didn't want to be there. Because the moment we hit the ground, he was just, you know. And it just opened my eyes. Like, it's like, man, there is so much more I have to learn. Like, you know, like, I probably know like white belt level just to compare to him. You know what I'm saying? Even I'm a purple belt and you know, I hold my own against some black belts and brown belts. But with this guy, I felt like I couldn't really do nothing. But it was good though, because it pushed me. You know, like I had in my mind, sometimes I get this stubborn mentality. I was like, man, I'm gonna take this guy down. I'm gonna take this guy down. And I was pushing hard for that whole five, like for the whole goal. So like working with guys, and it's true, like, you know, working with a higher level person, up your level, because you know you want to be able to compete with that person, even if you can't, you know. But we as martial artists and everything, I'm never gonna say, this guy is better than me. I'm just gonna roll over and just let him kick my ass. No, you're gonna be like, I don't care if he's beating by 100 score. I'm gonna make sure I work at least to close the gap, make it 99 or make it 98. You know, things like that. And if I'm kicking somebody's ass, I'm like, I'm going to make sure I keep dominating because I don't want this guy to come back. So for somebody to be in that high upper level than me, it forced me. That was like one of the best role sessions I had, because I had to keep attacking, keep going, even though he kept defending and kept reversing and kept submitting me. He must have submitted me like 3 times, but I kept going. So, you know, that was a very good experience for me.
You're currently on a 5-win streak. You just came off a unanimous decision with John Manley, I believe it was. You had a solid performance. You know, you left everybody wanting to see when is Manny coming back? When is he fighting again? Is that in the works?
Well, you know, I don't discuss this with a lot of people, but you know, I took a step back and whatever. I needed to reassess and redevelop my game. Like, I don't know if it's, I'm starting to see a sports psychology. I don't know what it is with me. Like, when I get in there, is these guys, like, I could beat them, I could dominate, but I don't take risk, like, to finish the fights, you know. And some of the reason why I've been to a lot of decisions. If you look, watch a lot of those fights, I was dominating. Like, the John Manley fight was preferred, for example. I dominated that fight. I could have easily went and got the finish, but I get in this comfort zone where I'm comfortable. This guy's not really damaging me, and I'm able to work my game. I point him, and I get into that zone, and I will do that. I will coast the whole fight, and when the fight's be done, and I'm still fresh and everything, I'm like, damn, I should give more. Even worse, I go back and watch some films on the fight, and I see so many openings of where, like, I could have just took advantage of it. So I need to know. I'm trying to learn, reading books and everything, how to break that more, how to just turn that switch on. Like, you know, guys, like, some guys are just killers. Like for example, like Wanderlei Silva, like, he's probably the nicest guy in real life, but he gets in that cage and he's trying to take your fucking head off, you know. Like, so I need to get into that more, and I think that's one of the reasons that's holding me back from the UFC, because they look at me as, and, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat myself, you know, I got a tough skin, as boring, you know, and especially if you're up and coming, you got to be able to knock guys out, you know, you got to talk shit and everything. I don't talk shit, I don't knock guys out, you know, I just go and fight and compete, and unfortunately, I win, you know, like, so the fact that winning has also been a curse, because it's like, I feel like, oh, well, you know, what I'm doing, it's not broken, so don't fix it, you know. But now it's like, I have to take a step back, like, man, listen, if I want to get broken to the next level, I need to, like, start, like, you know, doing things and start working on finishing fights. You know, even if I'm wrestling heavy, I need to take these guys down, you know, ground and pound, submit them and everything. So I've been focusing on my jiu-jitsu and my ground and pound drills and everything a lot.
And most definitely. So every time you train, I look at it as you're getting 1% better. There's always room for improvement, no matter, even the best in the world, there's always room for improvement, you know? I mean, we just witnessed that in Madison Square Garden. Three champions, dominating champions. Well, I'd say one of them was dominating the entire division. The other two were, I wouldn't say dominating, but they were the champions. But the one thing that I took out of that is be humble. Humble yourself, because there's always going to be that one person that's going to be there to knock you down. And that's exactly what happened on Saturday. It was crazy. Because,
man, I tell everybody, man, I say you can learn from anybody. You can learn from the world champion to the white belt. Like, I train my main training gym right now is Hensel Gracie in New York City. And that gym, we get guys passing through, like, GSP is there. Like, you know, we get all these guys coming, world champion, Abu Dhabi champions, like, Eddie Bravo Invitational champion, like, great grapplers, great fighters, passing through. So, you know, like, so even if I don't get to train with these guys, I'm not trying to be a fly on the wall and just observe. Like, when I see John Danaher, going over moves with guys like Gary Tone and everything. Like, I kind of, like, you know, just watch it a little bit. Like, even though I'm not part of that group, but I just watch it, just be a fan of it, because there's so much knowledge flowing around that gym, man. Like if you took a no-gi class with John Denner, like, the class would be, like, 50, 60 people in it. And after that class, it might be, like 15, 20 black belts. You won't know, because everybody's wearing regular clothes because it's no-gi. So I kind of like it like that, because it's like if I'm about to train with you and I know you're a black belt and everything, somehow in my mind it's almost like, if you submit to me, okay, it's normal, I can accept that because you're a black belt. But if it's no gear, like, I don't know your belt, motherfucker, I'm going to come at you with everything I have. Like, because I don't know, you could be a white belt and you just submit me, like, oh, you could talk about, like, oh, shit, I submitted Manny Wallow. You know what I'm saying? Like, that makes me embarrassed because it's like, I'm a higher belt. So that's why I prefer that. And that, man, yeah, that's, you should always be elevating. Like, I tell people, man, I've seen this so many times at the gyms, guys always want to be the big fish in the pond. Like, nah, man, you guys jump in our ocean and swim with the sharks. You know, you either sing or swim. You know, and I've been swimming so far. I've been surviving. I've been in the Hensels almost 6 years now. So,
most definitely. For sure. And you're clearly very passionate about everything that you do. You know, what inspires you every day to go out there and just give it everything that you have and to be that role model to folks that are watching you and just push yourself every day?
You know what it is? Like, it started when I first entered the sport, when I first started watching the sport, you know, and then when I started seeing these guys and I started looking them up and I realized, man, these guys are just regular guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing special about them. They weren't creating a lab. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are special guys. I mean, special, they're obviously a special athlete, but these are just regular guys. So that's what pushed me so off, because I'm like, if a regular guy could come from whatever background and come up and be Floyd Mayweather, be a Conor McGregor, be a GSP, you know what I'm saying? Like, these are just regular guys. They weren't like, you know what I'm saying? They just work hard. They weren't born crazy rich. Some of them might. So there's some athletes that are born, like, you know, rich, whatever. But for the most part, fighting, the reason I love fighting compared to other sports, because fighting, even though it's a team sport, at the end of the day, when you get in the cage, it depends on you. You know, so your success depends on you. You know, you don't have a whole team to carry you. Like, we're on a basketball court. If you suck, or we'll sub you out and put this guy in, we'll still win the championship. You still get to hoist up that trophy. No, like, if you suck, you just get your ass beat. You know, so that's what keeps me hungry, keeps me keep going, keeps me motivated, because the sport is constantly changing. You know, I'm getting older now. Like, I started when I was 24, 25. I'm 30 now. I'm about to turn 31. So the sport's constantly evolving. So if you don't evolve with the sport, you're going to get left back. And that's the worst thing, to be in there in the cage and not able to keep up with somebody. You know, I never want that feeling. So I'm always like changing, always elevating. You know what I'm saying? Like, I even started working on leg locks and stuff. Like, I'll never I probably will never use them shits, but I know that's where the game is going to now, so I have to learn to defend it. Even though I may never use it, I need to learn how to defend it. So things like that.
Exactly. Absolutely. A lot of folks don't understand that MMA is one of the most ever-evolving sports, you know, around. You know, things like football, basketball have all kind of stayed the same for the most part, but MMA is something that changes constantly. And with that being said, do you think throughout your career, from your start to the now, you know, how has your mindset changed on what it means to be a fighter?
You know, when I first started, I lost my first fight, and then I went back and I won by 7 fights in a row. And I started getting, like, when I lost my first fight, because I came as an amateur undefeated, you know, so when I lost my first fight, it kind of took me a step back, and then I came back, I got hungry. And I started working hard. And then I hate that. I started winning. So I hit that level of complacency. You know, that's the worst thing that happens to a fighter, where I get stuck in a constant routine where I was doing the same thing and everything like that. But, like, oh, man, you know what? These jokers can't touch me. I'm fucking them up. I'm beating them up. I ain't going to change shit. Then I fought for the first time on, I still remember this day like it was yesterday. It was January 30th, 2015. I fought on CES, my first ever time fight on the TV. I was headlining the Access TV show for a title fight. Now, I did the training right, but leading up to that, I was cocky. You know, I was like, my mom was distracted. You know, I had a horrible weight cut. My mom was distracted. I was all over the place and everything, because I felt in my mind, I'm going to do what I've always been doing. I'm going to go in there, smash this guy, come out with a victory. And that's what I was doing. You know, that's why I came with a mindset. 10 seconds into the fight, I get knocked out. Embarrassed and everything on national TV. I had friends and I was in Afghanistan. I was watching on TV, on like the computer streaming and everything. And they saw me, you know what I'm saying? They saw me get knocked out and everything. So that humbled me and that made me hungry. That made me like to the point where I don't underestimate nobody no more. Like, you know, like I train, like I don't care if you tell me your record is 0-12. I'm going to train for you like you're 12-0. Like, you know, so it takes, it's sad to say, but sometimes it takes something like that happening to change your perspective about, you know, about fighting, like to make you more focused. Some guy, it's a positive and negative. Some guys might just say, you know what, maybe this is not for me. But some guys are like, fuck that, man, that shit never happened to me again. I could never take that day back. You know, I won since that day, since that happened, I've won every fight since, but I don't care about those wins. I'll keep thinking back to that day, like, what could I have done different, you know? So that's what keep me pushing, because it's like, I never want to regret things. You know?
Yeah, most definitely. Like, and you were touching base on how you basically took a step back from the sport. Let's just say you wake up the next day and you're going into a fight. You weigh in. The wake up was marvelous. You go in there, and let's say you were on a three-fight losing skid. What would your mindset be? Like, would your mindset be like, fuck, do I want to keep doing this? And if that was the case, what would you turn to? Aside from the MMA world, what would you want to go in and focus on afterwards if that were the case?
Well, I mean, I have, like I said, I have degrees in criminal justice, national security administration, so they always have an outlet. You know, I already have a veteran status. I have no kids, so I'm flexible. I could travel, you know, like if a job opened in fucking Alaska, you know, I could take it. So I have other options, you know, like this is a dream, a passion. This is not, right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's not like, that this is all I have. Some guys, this is all they have. They want to make a name for themselves and open up their gym. You know, for me, of course, I would love to have a gym. I would love to make a name for myself and everything like that. But I have other outlets, you know, like if worst kind of worst, I still have 4 or 5 more years of, you know, of eligibility. I could always, if all else fails, I will always go back into the military, you know. So I have different outlets, you know, like so for this right now, is a passion for me, and I'm really passionate about it. I really love it, you know, like fighting. The reason that, man, if you ask any fighter, they'll tell you the money is horrible. Unless you start making it to the UFC and start getting sponsorship deals and everything, the money is horrible. So we don't do it as, you know, like just something to do. The guys are serious about it as a lifestyle. You know, even when I don't have a fight, I catch myself running. Like, I haven't had a fight since May. But you always see me at Henzo's doing a jiu-jitsu class, helping guys out, doing this, doing that, because it's a lifestyle. It's what I'm used to. I cannot sit on the couch for 6 months just watch TV, you know, like, it just don't feel right, you know. So if I was ever to find myself on a three-fight losing skid, that would be very heartbreaking to me, because I work too hard, you know. I would work too hard. I mean, something's wrong. I have to reevaluate. Maybe I'm not performing no more. Or maybe I'm not training hard as I used to be, but something will have to, like, but for me, just knowing the person I am, I don't think that could ever, like, I'm never going to say ever, but I don't think that would happen, because once I lose a fight, I always take a step back. Like, what did I do wrong? What the fuck happened? How did I lose? How was that possible? And that's how I reevaluate everything. I know guys will lose a fight and they won't jump in the next week because they want to erase that loss. Now they have 2 losses. They don't want to jump in a month later. I have 3 losses. They don't want to take that step back to reevaluate what happened. Me, I'm very, like analytical about every little thing. Like, I'm like, okay, what did I do? And I'm very, like, I listen, like, I'm on the forums and everything, reading people comments about me and things like that. Like, oh, he's boring. Oh, he's just a wrestler. Like, you know what I'm saying? I take all those things to heart. So I know if I was to lose a fight, I would have to take a step back and reevaluate myself completely and come back a better version.
What would you say is, you know, getting into something fun and exciting, what's your favorite submission? You know, what's one of the things that is your picture-perfect submission?
You know, it's actually kind of, I've been working on, I shouldn't even give this my secret, but I'm going to give it away because I don't care. But I've been working on the little Kimura trap system, like little Kimura trap system and things like that. Like I've been working on that a lot. Like I actually like it. You know, I use it. Sometimes I use it to take guys back and everything. I use it like threatening with it. I use it as sweeps and everything like that. So I like the whole Kimura system thing.
For sure. Are you currently training for an opponent right now? Do you have someone in mind? You know, what's in your radar?
No, I'm not. I'm not training for nobody specific. You know, I just train to be better than the last Emmanuel Wilder that fought John Manley, because that's the last guy I faced. So I'm training to be better than that. I'm training, like, you know, working better on my striking, my head movement, boxing, working better on my takedowns, my takedown defense, things like that. Just overall, man, like this is something one of my coach at Hensel Gracie, Coach Jamie Childer, he tells us, like, when you have a fight camp, it's not a time for you to get better. The time for you to get better is in between fights. You know what I'm saying? When you have a fight camp, now all you're doing is just adjusting your training to this guy's style to beat him. You know what I'm saying? If you're using that for you to get better, because, you know, some guys, I mean, you guys probably know these guys that when they're done fighting, they'll go hang out or whatever. They won't be back in the gym until they have another fight book. You know what I'm saying? So use constantly. So right now, I use that right now. This is the time for me to get better over as a fighter. Then when I get an opponent name, when I get a face or something, they say, you're fighting Joel Rojas or you're fighting this guy. Now I have a face. I know his style. Now I would just, you know, adjust my game to him a little bit to negate his weakness, his strength, and, you know, highlight his weaknesses and things like that. But in between that, I'm training to better myself, to learn things, you know, like, and it's no pressure because I don't have a fight. So if I get submitted 15 times in a training session, it's okay. You know, like, at least the next day I come back, I get submitted 10. The next day I get 5. The next day 3. The next day 2. Before you know it, I'm not getting submitted no more because I'm learning. I'm evolving. I'm getting better. So that's when the time, and that's my advice to fighters. Take that time, that in-between time, man, to get better. Don't wait till you have a fight book to try to, like, crunch everything. It's like in school. You know what I'm saying? You have the whole semester to study for the finals. But what do most college people do? We wait till the last week and try to crunch. You know, so is that same for last week? You have to just use your in-between time, your break time to try to get better as a person, as a fighter, as a person.
Absolutely. And when you're not training, and like maybe you want to take a day to have some mental break, maybe body break, if that's even an option, what do you do aside from MMA? Like, is there any sports that you do?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was a soccer player. I played soccer, and growing up, I'm African, so, you know, naturally, it's our natural sport. I play soccer, everything like that. So even when I'm not, like, sometimes if I'm not, like, to kick back, I'm a huge, huge science fiction geek. Like, you know, I love Lord of the Rings. I love Star Trek. I love Star Wars. So I love movies. So sometimes I might just kick back and watch some movies, which I do a lot. Or I might just, like, you know, play the video games and stuff like that. Things like that. Like I'm a very corny and basic guy. You know, I'm not one of those guys that will go swinging from freaking planes and everything. I don't mind it, but I don't do none of those things. But yeah, for me, I just like to lay back, hang out with my friends, you know, things like that. Anything that, like, distract me from fighting, because that gets exhausting. Especially when you have an opponent, thinking about this person 24/7 is exhausting.
I can imagine. And, you know, I did touch base on this a little earlier in regards to your upbringing. I mean, is there anything that you would say to the young generation that's coming up? Because, you know, I have issues with people when I moved over here that I never in my life dealt with when I was over there, I guess because that mutual respect is there. But the young ones is the ones you got to worry about because they're out to make a name for themselves, a rep for themselves. Like, what would you tell that young generation to basically snap them out of that fucking shit that they're doing and robbing people, shooting people, stabbing people, gang affiliations and all that?
Man, you know what it is, man? The younger generation don't appreciate hard work, things like that. You know, they want instant success. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So if I'm telling them, oh, put the guns down, put the drugs away, go to school, go to everything like that, it's going to pay up for you. I'm just proposing to them a 10, 15-year plan. Whereas mm-hmm. the drug dealer next door, their big homie or their OG live next door to them is driving a BMW, a Benz, and everything like that. And so they want that instant gratification. They want that instant success. You know, a lot of people is not willing to go through the mud, like me and you, everything. Like, we did it. Like, I went through the fucking mud, you know, just to get, and I'm not even where I want to be. But just to get here, I had to, you know, like, sacrifice. A lot of people is not going through that. A lot of this younger generation is not going through that. And I feel like, I honestly want to apologize because I feel like it's our fault as older, as big homies, as older, you know, the older generation, because we just kind of let them do what they want. Like, let them just, you know, run amok, and we created such a powerful thing, like this thing, like this not giving a fuck attitude. So for us now to go back and try to, like, I don't know, don't do this, don't do that. They're like, fuck you, dude. Like, I'm gonna listen to you. Look at you. You walking. You catching the train and everything like that. Look at him. He's driving a fucking BMW. He got 3 or 4 girls on him. And everything. Like, fuck you, dude. I'm not gonna listen to you. So it's really hard. But I tell him, like. Like, that lifestyle, that fast lifestyle, don't have a retirement plan. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you'll be lucky if you end up in jail. Most of those people end up dead or they just end up lost. You know what I'm saying? That's the worst thing. To be to just be a lost nigga. You know, excuse my language, but just to be a lost dude. Like, you know, you have no purpose in life. You just wake up to get through this day and go to sleep. So I would just tell them, like, listen, man, you want to live the rest of your life looking over your shoulder, wondering where your next meal could come from, or you want to be comfortable, you know, have a nice house, have a nice girl, you know, maybe a dog, maybe a kid or two, you know, things like that. And, like, I would just tell them, like, the fast life don't last long, man. Maybe it might be one or two guys ever that tell you that, you know, that's been hustling, been gangbanging and everything since day one, and now they have a very comfortable, like, big old house and everything like that, and they just live their life peacefully. Nah, but it sucks, man. It is what it is. Like, you know, you just gotta take it for what it is. It started with us. My generation was the one that started doing the whole gang, like the whole guns and everything. Before that, people were fighting, things like that. All of a sudden, we started with the guns and all it is and that. Now, the new generation, that's all they know. It's guns. Like, I've seen guys, I've heard guys shoot guys over freaking argument over dice game, over, you know, stupid shit. Like, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, man, it really is. Back in the day, we used to throw down. Someone got fucked up, you got back up, shook hands, and kept it moving. And a day or two later, y'all best friends and shit. That's how it was. Nowadays, that shit don't happen. You're on the ground, expect for 3 or 4 motherfuckers to come and stomp on you, on your ass while you're still down. And when you get up, they'll stomp.
That's a best case scenario. You getting jumped. Some people might take that as a blessing. Because, you know what I'm saying, you could beat somebody up, you walk around the corner, next thing you know, you're getting pop, 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 you're getting hit up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So getting jumped might be even a blessing in disguise. So, like, fuck it, I'll take this. At least I'm alive. I might be beat. I might beat right. The fuck up. I'll heal up in a week or two.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. We're getting ready to wrap up the show, Manny. Eric, is there any another question you might have for Manny before we get off the air?
Last thing I have is, you know, before, you know, whether it be in 5 years or 20 years, when you wrap up your MMA career, what's the big thing that you want to be remembered for?
I just want to be remembered as, you know, somebody who was passionate about fighting. You know, I was somebody who was very approachable, you know, a very real down-to-earth person. You know, I don't want to be remembered as, you know, a snob or somebody like, I just did it just to do it. I remember, like, every time I step in the cage, like, even though, you know, if I do this, I do that, whatever, but whenever I step in the cage, I give 100% of me, you know, like, I perform to the best of my ability. And that's what I want to remember for. I just want people to remember that, like, whatever you're going to do, not just in the cage, whatever you're going to do in life, just give it your best, you know what I'm saying? Like, because you never know, like you might succeed expectations if you put your best foot forward. You know, a lot of people are scared to take risks, and myself included. I discussed that earlier. Like, I'm working on that. You know, a lot of people are scared to take risks. A lot of people are scared to take L's and things like that, so they don't venture out of their comfort zone. So if I could be remembered something for that, I just want to be remembered as, you know, my legacy, just like somebody who wasn't afraid to, like, you know, mix it up with people, like, wasn't afraid to interact with people, to elevate people, to enhance people, you know, and just to let people from my own hometown know that, man, there's several ways out there. You don't have to just be a rapper or a basketball player. You know, you can be a fighter, you can be a poet, you know, you can be a singer, you can do, you get a regular 9-to-5 job. There's a lot of different outlets, you know. So that's what I'm hoping at the end of the day to remember for. Just a regular dude who just worked hard and just lived the dream, no matter how temporary it was.
Most definitely. And before we let you go, Manny, any shout outs you want to give to sponsors, and also where can our listeners find you at in social media?
Yeah, my longtime sponsors, you know, Eat Clean Bro. I've been working with them for a long time now. Lana Egg Bites, Hayabusa. I want my gym, Hensel Gracie Academy, New York City. Hensel Gracie Academy in Brooklyn, The Edge in Hoboken, and my longtime, lifelong coach and gym, Driven Gym in Woodbridge on 95 Main Street. Come check us out. James Mills, you know, I've been working with this guy since day one, since before I even stepped into an MMA cage. This guy's been, he's like a bigger brother, a mentor, a coach, everything to me. And guys, if you want to hit me up, you know, I'm on Facebook, Manny Wallow. I'm on Instagram, ArmyFighter05, Twitter, ArmyFighter05, same handle, you know. And like I said, guys, if you hit me up, I will respond. I'm not one of those guys that's going like, oh, you know, if you hit me up, I respond. Like, I'm always, if I'm not working or training, my phone is not far behind. So hit me up, guys.
Absolutely. And we thank you once again for coming on the show, Manny, and we look forward to seeing you and what's coming up in your career, man.
Yeah, no, you know, if I have something booked, I'll hit you guys up. Maybe I'll come on and talk about it before or after, you know, whatever. I'll let you guys know.
Most definitely, no doubt.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, thank you. That was Manny Wallow joining us tonight. Make sure you check him out. He's definitely one of the more up-and-comers that are coming up in the area, as you can see. He's come from a great squad. Real quick, if you guys definitely want to hear our interviews and other interviews, be sure to follow us at Funky Monkey MMA. You can follow me on Twitter at JR_double_, or on Facebook at Joel Rojas. Also want to send a shout out to Jersey City, the hometown where Manny and I are from. I'm from Union City and Jersey City, born and raised in Union City, lived in Jersey City half part of my life. You know, my family and friends from over there. Stay safe. We all know the war is on over there, so just stay up and make something of yourself. Oh, and real quick, shout out, you'll kill me if I don't, my daughter, Sanaya and Ayana, and my wife, Amy. Love you girls. And Eric, any last words?
Just make sure to check us out at whiteoutpromotions.com. And as always, I got to make sure to shout out to a few of our sponsors as well. Fear the Fighter, Combat Corner, McBride Mats, SureFit Mouth Guards. So always appreciate you guys' time.
All right. We thank you guys for listening. And remember, every day above ground is a good day, even when it isn't. Have a good one.
You're listening to Funky Monkey MMA.
You can listen to Funky Monkey MMA Radio on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Player FM, Cash Roller, the TuneIn Radio app, MMAFutures.com, LoveMMA.com, MMArecords.com, and FightBookMMA.com. For the freshest news and notes on all things MMA, get over to FunkyMonkeyMMA.com.
You're listening to Funky Monkey MMA.